Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get the show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
And Mike, the feverish Fadero.
He's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it,
baby.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever, episode 241. I am here, as always, you guessed it, with the Feverish Fanero. A lot has happened this week, Feverish.
Yeah, just a couple
what,
of things.
What better week is there to do doubts versus touts? I don't think we could have picked a better of one. So we're going to go through a little bit of doubts. We've got some touts from the 2021 class and the 2022 class.
Nice.
And then we've got some rookie trades that the Feverish Fanero found for us.
Just a few.
The news has been crazy, though, Feverish. Again, I'm going to say. So I'm going to start out with my doubt. Okay? Sorry.
Damn,
I'm starting out with my doubt from the 2022 class.
Got it.
And that is the 2022 quarterback class. I think the NFL is talking to us, Feverish. I truly do. They're telling us we don't want to take a quarterback at 4. We don't want to take a quarterback at 11. We want Carson Wentz. The Giants are talking to us, Fanero, and I know you don't love this one, but they're telling us, you know, we might want to just get Mitch in here and compete with Daniel Jones. We don't want to take a quarterback at 4. The NFL is letting us know how they feel about this class. You hear all the buzz, everybody's talking about what was going on at the combine. People are interested in Jimmy G.
Yeah.
They're interested in Jared Goff. All these quarterbacks that teams really haven't been too interested in, they're interested in this year. And there's a reason for that. It's because they're not feeling it. You know, there's a couple. I think we're going to get some landing spots. And, you know, like we mentioned, maybe this is a show we do again. I want to see where Malik Willis goes. I want to see, you know what I mean? Where Kenny Pickett goes, Sam Howell. I want to see where those guys go. And what opportunity we may be able to foresee. Those are the three that I'm most interested in. I think that we're going to get at least one starter out of this group for the. Mm-hmm. But I think NFL is telling us this. They're telling us that Mitch Trubisky might all of a sudden be a better option.
Yeah.
You know. So my doubt is this 2022 quarterback class, and I do think that somebody will shine.
But who will it be?
Yeah.
Now, we came out this last year in 2021 with 5 unbelievable talent prospects, and we saw one quarterback be serviceable.
Yeah.
And we just released the Mark Schofield player profile that talks about the entire 2022 class just in time for this quarterback carousel that you are talking about. And he said that whichever one, and he can't put his finger on it either, whichever one of these QBs winds up being QB1 in this 2022 class, he'll still be the 6th best quarterback if you mix them in with last year.
Yeah, yeah.
So that tells you where he's at. So
yeah, and he still likes some guys in his class, but to say that from Mark Schofield, who I hold in, and I know you do as well, and a lot of our listeners in very high regards, and that's, I wanted to kick it off a lot this way. Because I've seen our show sheet. I know your tout for the 2021 class.
Mm-hmm.
I have a tout from that as well. And just some feelings that I'm getting is I feel like the NFL is telling us they don't feel good about this class. And I don't want to get too excited about it either. I think that Jared Goff, for example, is the starting quarterback in Detroit foreseeable future, and I don't even think they'll dip in, really, unless it's late, like a 3rd or 4th round, maybe. I don't think they'll even dip in. I think that they'll wait and see another year, then next year.
I think they liked what they saw out of Goff at the end of last year. And, just back to what you were saying with the Schofield profile and the 2022 class and how you feel about it. For me, like, the discussion really is, and I know our listeners want to know, like, where are we taking them in Superflex rookie drafts? Like, that's really the question, man. Like, whether you like the class or you're down on the class or whether you're down on the QB class in particular for what we're talking about right now, it doesn't really matter if you're down on them. You have to sit there and decide, like, what is a starting quarterback worth, right? Like, so we're going to have, mm-hmm. we're going to have one, at least, like you said, landing spots, right? So I would argue, I mean, we have, I can list the teams. We probably have still, regardless of this carousel and what's left in the carousel, we're still going to have 3 to 4 teams, NFL teams, that need quarterbacks. So there's going to be 3 or 4 yeah. of these guys that are going to find a home. Whether you think they start day one or not isn't really an overwhelming factor to the original question, which is, where do you draft these quarterbacks in a super flex rookie draft? You know, like people that are holding the 2 and the 3 and the 4 pick, what are you doing there?
I think it's one of those rookie drafts where you really need to advise to take the best player available. And depending on where you pick, it may not be a quarterback this year, you know, and again, we'll see soon once we have landing spots and we have free agency coming here, maybe some more moving parts in that we've talked a little bit on the NFC and AFC editions we just mm-hmm. finished up. But man, I mean, you need a landing spot, you know, with an opportunity for these guys, because I already don't feel great about them. So the 3 that I mentioned, like, I need a landing spot that makes me feel like I'm going to have an opportunity this season without an injury. Like, I don't want to think like, oh, well, if Aaron Rodgers gets hurt, sure. I don't want that. I'm saying, like, I want a day one where mm-hmm. I at least feel like they're competing for the job, because I don't know if we have much future here if we don't get to see it year one. I don't know if it's that class once we go into 2023. I don't know, man. I'm not feeling good. I do think that we could see, like, Malik Willis and Kenny Pickett land on a team where they have a day one opportunity, or at least can be competing with it, mm-hmm. and that could change how we are feeling depending on what system they fall into.
Yep.
But even at that, I think that this is going to be one that you might want to take the best player available, even if you feel like you need a quarterback. The move may be to try to trade that pick for somebody that you feel better about having a NFL job in the NFL for a year or two, mm-hmm. even if it's Jimmy G to Seattle.
Right.
So, I don't know. So Fenero, that's my doubt. And it kind of opened up the show a little bit. And, you know, like, we're getting a little super flexy here, I guess. But
so your doubt is the entire 2022 QB class.
A little bit, man. I think we're going to get a starter. I think that we're going to get somebody that can put some points into our fantasy team. But yeah, I've got some concerns just from the NFL activity and what we're hearing from rumors of talk at the combine.
Yeah.
It makes it sound like NFL executives are suddenly more interested in quarterbacks that they've never really been that interested in. And I think that shows you, I think it speaks volumes to the class coming in, especially when it's teams that aren't even that good, that have low picks, the 4 and the 11 being Washington and the Giants,
mm-hmm.
and they're pursuing other avenues instead of trying to get their future quarterbacks in this class. They're just kind of like, eh. Because I don't know, dude. I don't think that Washington is a good enough organization to care about having a bridge quarterback to whoever they perceivably would have drafted at 11 to be their future. I think that they wouldn't have made that trade. They would have just drafted the quarterback, threw him out there. They don't care. Let's be honest. And that would have been their day one starter. They're not feeling it, though. That's Washington.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But your tout, your 2021 tout, I think fits right into this.
Yeah, so my tout, actually, the 2021 tout, going from 2022, not to confuse anyone, Zach Wilson, our number 2 overall pick in the NFL draft last year. some of the negatives, right? 11 starts last season, passed for 2,300 yards, 9 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. For a paltry 55.6% completion rate on top of that. He also didn't even have a healthy season. He missed 4 games with that PCL. And to be honest, the offense looked a little better without him when I was watching it with my football eyes. So why do I have Zach Wilson as a tout? Well, one could say, well, there's nowhere else to go but up, but that's not where I'm going here. he did improve when he came back from that PCL in a couple different important ways. One way I think is super important is in the last five games, zero interceptions. That's a big one. I like that. Elijah Moore was fully in the offense by then, and I expect Elijah Moore to continue his breakout. I'll say continue because some people say he already broke out. I think that's hard to say at 500 yards, but I expect Elijah Moore to stay healthy this season and help Zach Wilson in year two. He's also going to get his left tackle back, Mekhi Becton, who was out all season. That's his blind side. He was pressured in, like, I think it was like the third most in the league during his starts. And then, of course, the stuff that we talked about in our AFC edition. The Jets stink is all over Zach Wilson and the Jets. And I feel like the Jets are heading in the right direction. They have the fifth most money under the cap with $48 million to spend. They have the fourth overall draft pick, the 10th overall draft pick, the 35th, the 36th overall draft picks, a third, two fourths, and two fifths. So the draft capital, and almost any mock draft that I see, had them picking up another wide receiver to support Zach Wilson with early draft capital, as early as the first. And unlike what I said, go ahead.
Do you think they will? Do you think they'll draft a wide receiver in the first?
In the first, I don't. I think they have other needs on defense, but they have those two early second swags where I think that is a nice area where they could pick up a wide receiver and feel really damn happy about it. Kind of like in your rookie draft, to be quite honest. I know there's some top-end talent in your rookie drafts, but if you go into the early second, there's some nice value there. So this is a deep wide receiver class. I think the Jets wind up sitting on that just a little bit longer, but who knows? And then the last thing I wanted to point out is the way the Jets are going to, both with the cap and their draft capital, help Zach Wilson is kind of the antithesis of what I said about my concerns about Justin Fields, right? No first round draft pick, no fourth round draft pick. They're way, way under cap. They have all those free agents. They're going to have a harder time supporting Fields, where the Jets are in a really nice spot to support Zach Wilson. So I want to tout him for 2022 for a nice little sophomore jump.
I love it. And I even have to wonder, are we forgetting about Corey Davis, or we're just out on him? I mean, because he's got 3 years on that contract left.
Yep.
He was banged up a little bit too. He's shown flashes with the Titans as well. I mean, he could maybe be one of the big bodies there, even if they do add a third wide receiver that at some point overtakes him. Because I agree, get Zach Wilson another weapon. Zach Wilson is the kind of quarterback I want throwing to Bryan Edwards. Like, I want somebody, like, that's what I love about Zach Wilson. And I think at some point, give him some more time, he is not afraid to throw the ball to his wide receivers. You don't have to be wide open. That is what good quarterbacks do, you know, and they go through some troubled times, and you end up with some of the numbers that you mentioned that Zach Wilson showed us in year one, but he is not afraid to throw that ball. And that's the kind of quarterback that I think Bryan Edwards needs. And that conversation doesn't just come up because we made that trade, because that's one of my concerns with Bryan Edwards is he's not creating separation, but when Carr throws it to him, he catches the damn ball.
Right.
I want Zach Wilson. You know what I mean? I don't know. I'm with you on Zach Wilson, man. I'm excited about him. I think that he might be a little undervalued.
Jets stink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get to your doubt in a little bit, because that could even, I'm curious like how we could use those pieces together a little bit, but I want to tell you my tout.
Yes.
Because we're still going to get super flexy.
That's a lot of quarterback talk on episode 241.
It's not like the super flexy sexy like Zach Wilson is to me, but I'm touting Kyle Trask for the reasons that I mentioned at the beginning of the show, because I believe he's going to walk in the day one starter. And I think we're going to get to see what he has, which is still a huge question mark.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think that we're going to get to see what he has. We haven't heard of the Bucks being really mentioned a lot in trades or any kind of rumors. I've heard more about them wanting to start Kyle Trask. I don't think they don't have any high picks unless they trade in. I think they roll out Kyle Trask week one.
It's possible. I don't know. It feels like such an insane conundrum over there. I mean, they talk about the definition of blowing.
I mean, if
a team
Malik
up.
Willis is the sixth best quarterback in the last two classes, how crazy is it that Kyle Trask is the seventh or eighth if Davis Mills is getting a shot?
Yeah, right. Wow, this is what I will say, and I almost said it when you did your doubt on the 2022 class. We do this time of year wind up hearing names. Like, I remember hearing Mariota's name last year around this time, and we're hearing Mariota's name again. Mm-hmm. We do hear about these guys that have had high draft capital coming in, flashed a little bit here and there, and then we look at the landscape, and we're like, oh my God, half the NFL teams need a quarterback. But you're right. I mean, what you said at the top of the show, you're absolutely right. The difference is you don't have five top 12 picks coming in to, you know, invigorate that, right? Now you have, mm-hmm. you have maybe four or five quarterbacks that might still go in the first round, but only because of the same reason they're going to go in the first round of Superflex rookie drafts, because it's like, this is the only place I can get one. Where am I going to get one? You know, the free agency's over. This is the NFL draft. This is where I'm going to get my quarterback now. Who knows? Malik Willis has a lot of upside. Maybe I leave him on the bench for a year behind Goff, and maybe he's my quarterback of the future after that. You know what I mean? So there's NFL teams that are going to have to take that chance, and there's going to be rookie drafts where you're going to have to probably take that chance, depending on your team construct. So
yeah, I feel like if you're at that point, though, even with Detroit, I feel like if you're at the point that you're like, let's use Goff as a bridge, and we'll draft Malik Willis for our future, I feel like you're just kind of like, let's just wait and dip into the 2023 draft.
Yeah, it's possible.
If you're waiting a year anyway, if that's your mm-hmm. plan, and you don't, we're already not feeling great about this class and Malik Willis, you know what I mean? Like, we feel like he could be. Don't get me wrong. Like, if there's a quarterback in this class right now, he's the one I'm most interested in.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if your plan is to wait a year and you're not going to fire him up, why not just dip in next year, not waste that pick? Make your team better with positions you're more confident in the NFL draft.
If you're Detroit, that sample, yes. But if you're a team that just missed the playoffs, or a team that actually was in the play, like, you know what I mean? Like, if you need something there, right on that, you know, that cusp, you aren't going to get a high draft pick. And if the higher talent's coming in, you aren't going to get it. You know, so I think there is an argument to say, well, you know, let me take this talent. It might be a little more raw than I want it to be, but, you know, I'm also not using a top 10 pick for him, right? Like, Malik Willis might go in the bottom half of the draft. So, you know, the draft capital is not as bad.
So then the and then you get straight up your option. Him?
I mean, dude, it's happened before, right? Lamar Jackson.
Yeah,
so, you know, it can fall that way. I think teams are going to talk themselves into these quarterbacks. I'm not going to lie. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be the same reason that it's kind of easy to say, well, in Superflex, I'm going to pass the quarterback up because I don't like them, you know, here in March. But I think when our drafts come up, I think we're going to feel a little different. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be the same thing. You're going to talk yourself into it. You're going to be like, well, I mean, he's on Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
you know,
I need a quarterback.
Good organization. They have pretty good mm-hmm. weapons, you know, like. So what? He's got small hands. You know, I'm going to go for it. You know, like, I don't know. Like, I think we're going to talk ourselves into this later. I think this is kind of it's a little mix of it being legitimately a down class, especially at quarterback, and it's early. Those two things. I think as we progress closer and closer to late April, then we get landing spots, and then we start fast dreaming about what those landing spots could mean for these players, and then we start hearing, you know, that the team's really happy with them. It just rolls into what inevitably is going to happen, which is going to be quarterbacks at the top of your rookie draft.
Yeah.
Not saying 101.
I think that a couple will creep up there, though, at least.
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah. I love your doubt, by the way.
Oh, do you?
As
I wasn't sure about that.
My broken, blackened, tainted heart from you having this player as your doubt. I love this player.
So you love this player that is my doubt, or you love my doubt that is this player? There's a distinct difference.
I like this player.
Oh, okay, good. All right, so.
Okay, good.
Well, no, it's come to good dialogue then.
I'm curious what you got to say, yeah.
Yeah, so my doubt is the 15th overall pick and the best performing QB in the 2021 class, Mac Jones. So he just got done leading the Patriots into the playoffs in his rookie season. He was 13th. I was surprised by that number. 13th in the NFL in total yards. The 22 touchdowns and 13 interceptions don't sound too crazy good. But he had a good season, and we all know it. I think he outperformed all of our expectations. And I think that's kind of where my doubts start to creep in. I'll start with Patriot insider Tom Curran, who said, the Patriots have a quarterback. I don't know if he's the quarterback. He'll be the quarterback for the next 4 years, though. I do know that. And that's kind of where I'm sitting with him right now. I think that we all got a little, I don't want to say blindsided. That doesn't feel right. Because he was on the Patriots. We all knew it was a nice match for Mac Jones. We knew that. But him outperforming all the other four blindsided me. I'll use the word blindsided for that. I didn't think he would outperform all the quarterbacks in this class. So for me, I feel like that's a little bit more of where the doubts start creeping in for me. I feel like that just might be who he is. I don't know how much more we see. I know we're going to say the very next thing is going to be, well, he had no weapons. Like, wait until he gets all these weapons. When's the last time New England drafted a good wide receiver? We talk about how the Eagles can't do it, and maybe they finally got one with Devonta Smith. I mean, Patriots just don't do it. So we're going to have to see them do something.
They've
had wide receivers, but they just don't draft them well. And so if you're depending on...
But they've had them. I don't think they're just going to never want to add a wide receiver, I guess, is my point. I mean,
yeah, they're going to...
They've had Wes Welker, Edelman, Randy Moss.
We've had some free agents. Yep.
But Belichick can get a wide receiver.
Yeah. So these are free agents. They spent a ton of money last year in free agency, so maybe they tried to do that again. I didn't look at their cap number before the show, but I don't remember it being all that great. And I think we were just really impressed by Mac Jones, you know, bettering our expectations. And I feel like he doesn't have great arm strength. He isn't particularly mobile. And he's staring down Mahomes, Allen, Herbert, Burrow, Lamar, Russell Wilson, all in the AFC. I don't know, man. I think he might just be our quarterback.
Yeah, and that could be great, though. I'm fine with that. And to your point, like, I think that he has a ceiling. I think he has a very high ceiling of very special players that I don't want to compare him to today. But with his playing style, he's not an athletic guy. He's going to have to throw the ball. He's going to have to get better with his pocket presence, a little bit more mobile in the pocket. But with his playing style, I think that he has a ceiling of some of the elite quarterbacks like Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, not as athletic as those guys, with the floor of Kirk Cousins or Matthew Stafford or somebody like that. I think that he is a very safe super flex quarterback for those reasons. Even if it ends up being on another team, I think that he's going to get his points a little bit differently. We just saw him tie a Dak Prescott rookie record. I think good things are to come for the guy, and I'm not super concerned, but I do think the floor is high, but there is, like, the ceiling that I mentioned is an absolutely far-fetched scenario. It's hypothetical, though, but I think that's the kind of player that he is, somewhere in between there. That's how I feel about Mac Jones, and I feel safe with him.
Yeah, I don't think he has elite in him. I'm not there yet. After 1 year, after one, you know,
I think the price might be a little bit high, even with everything I just said, because, you know, the floor of Kirk Cousins, that's just, you just have a solid starter. And to your point with Mac Jones, like, what I want to do, and I want to try to get Zach Wilson your tout and a little bit extra and trade Mac Jones. I do want to put Zach Wilson on my teams over Mac Jones a little bit. And I know that sounds a little bit risky, but and that's why I said I wanted to work together a little bit with your tout and your doubt earlier. Yeah. But in the teams where I have Mac Jones, I've been trying to get Zach Wilson and a little bit extra while that little bit of sourness is there on Zach Wilson.
The Josh McDaniels move means something to me too. Him leaving and going to the Raiders. Like, I don't love that for Mac Jones. I would have much preferred him stay where he was. I think there's two things playing with me there. One thing is, you know, anybody that think Josh McDaniels may Tom Brady would be wrong, but to say that they weren't a good team together, I think is fairly accurate, and you would have many people agree with that statement. And I know that Tom Brady loves Josh McDaniels, and I feel like taking that piece away does concern me for the straight up, you know, relationship that Mac Jones and Josh McDaniels could have had. But then also just like Josh McDaniels stayed in New England a long time. He had a lot of offers. He had a lot of chances to leave. He stayed right where he was as long as Brady was there. As soon as Mac Jones goes, he goes.
Nah,
I mean, I don't want to jump I'm just saying, you're talking about a guy that you possibly have an elite ceiling for. I don't know. Like, I just, I don't know. Does Josh McDaniels feel the same way?
Don't hold.
Yeah.
No, I'm not worried about that.
Yeah, I don't.
I mentioned the possibility of him even changing teams. I'm not worried about McDaniels leaving. I think that Mac Jones is a good quarterback, and whether you like it or not, Finero, because I know it gets wore out, he did it with nobody.
Yep, I know.
Like Jacoby Myers enough to seem like they're going to keep him around. Josh Reynolds just signed a contract. They don't even want Jacoby Myers there.
I think that's part of the concerns I have. Is I think we're building that into his value, is the fact that the team's just going to instantly get better because it was voidless of weapons. And I just don't know if that happens in one all season. And I'm doubting this next year for him being, you know, a step in the right direction. I'm not saying he's going to go backwards, but I think the expectation is he's certainly going to move forward. He's going to be certainly surrounded by better weapons, and he's going to just do what he did and continue to do what he did. And I feel like there's going to be a little bit of a, there'll be a value dip, I think, come after this season.
There might be. But I mean, honestly, he's almost the kind of player that I'm fine if some of his like percentages go down a little bit and his fantasy points go up a little.
Sure. Yeah.
I could totally see it being more like that. I think he's going to be a safe fantasy quarterback. Even if he turns into the quarterback that nobody wants, Kirk Cousins that keeps putting up points.
That's kind of where I have him. Dude, I have him between Carr and Cousins.
Yeah,
like in that world, you know, like flirting with QB1, but really just a high end QB2. That's kind of where I have Mac Jones.
Yeah, so sometimes it's just easier to shoot for the moon. I mean, honestly, like it just feels safer to me, and I think that that's part of it for me with Mac Jones. We want to find like that next like top five quarterback when Mac Jones is sitting right there.
Right.
He's not going to be that top five quarterback.
No.
I mean, even with what I mentioned, like, as that ceiling, I get, like, how hypothetical and crazy that is, but that's, like, a playing style of how I see him. He's going to have to get it done. He's not getting it done with his wheels.
Right.
My doubt is somebody I don't feel like I have been quite hard enough on. I think I've been too nice. I think a lot of it's because of you, and I think some of it was because of Dave, but that's Rondale Moore. And I know that I've talked about him a lot on the show, so we can make this quick. Yeah. But honestly, he's just one of those players that confuses me, the hype around him. And I'm just not feeling it, man. And I've even tried to kind of get into it and avoid the hype thing. And then J.J. Zacharyson put out that tweet sometime this last week during the Combine about how Jameson Crowder is the most successful NFL player to be through the Combine that was 5'8". Or shorter in the NFL. And that's 5'8". Rondale Moore is 5'7". I have a lot of team concerns, just how they're going to throw the ball as long as Hopkins there. I don't see them having a wide receiver 2 for fantasy. I think that they're going to have Hopkins, and when he's gone, they'll have another wide receiver 1. And then they might have a wide receiver 3 on the team. I don't think it's Rondale Moore. The end. It just doesn't make sense.
Period.
Period. So the 2022 class.
Yes.
I've already told you my doubts.
Yes, you have.
Do you want to go first, or do you want to know my doubt, or do you want to...
Well, you already gave us a 22, so I should probably give us a 22.
Yeah, I did my doubt.
Yeah, so you want me to... I can stick with doubts or touts. You tell me where you want me to go.
That's a tough one. Well, let's hear your tout.
All right, my towel.
We'll get them back to some positive stuff.
So I've been teasing you that I've been looking closer at the 2022 running back class in particular, because it's the one I usually attack first. And the thing that I was kind of finding is that there was more names that are going to be in rookie drafts in your second round than last year, for sure. and I think drafted in the third and fourth round of the NFL draft. So I was going to bring up players like maybe Zamir White or James Cook, the Georgia running back tandem. I had some notes on them, but I wanted to actually bring up a name that's not talked about as much as those two, and that's Brian Robinson, who was behind Najee Harris and had to wait for his senior year to get 271 attempts. What do you do with that? 1,343 yards and 14 touchdowns. And then on top of that makes it so much sweeter. 35 reception swags in college. 35 catches for another 300 yards and 2 touchdowns. So that's what he does as soon as Najee Harris goes bye-bye. I see him projected to go in the third round, which is right before my Mason-Dixon line. If anybody knows what that is, that's when, right after the third round is when I start saying I'm not interested in running backs in the fourth. So if he does go in the third, obviously it's going to depend on landing spot. I might be very, very interested in Brian Robinson. Now, people are going to point out the 4.53 40 time that he had in the combine and say, well, he's really not that fast. You know who else had exactly a 4.53 40 time last year? Najee Harris.
Exactly.
Exactly a 4.53. And this boy's big, man. 6'2", 225 pounds. He's like a bulldozer that can cut. I like this kid. I think he's getting overlooked because he was behind Najee Harris. I think he's getting overlooked because he only has that 1 year of production. But when he did play with Najee Harris and limited, he had a better yards per carry. He had half the touchdowns he had as just a part-time player. Like, he flashed. Like, you could tell. The only reason he wasn't playing was Najee Harris. And we all know Najee Harris is pretty good. And we understand why Brian Robinson. I'm not saying Brian Robinson is even three quarters of Najee Harris. I'm not going there. What I'm saying is Brian Robinson could be an excellent late second round draft pick for your fantasy team.
What about pick 73 to the Washington Commanders?
Oh, interesting. 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 Where'd you pull that from? I kind of dig that.
I've been listening to this show, Rookie Fever. And they just went over the NFC and the AFC in detail.
They did do that. It was very long shows, I remember.
Some of the picks and stuff. So some of it's resonating in my head.
Nice.
And I'm not going to – I haven't changed how I feel much about Antonio Gibson.
Mm-hmm. I think they could complement each other very well.
Yeah. Yeah. Your point. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I haven't looked a ton at – Brian Robinson. I'm not going to try to sound like I have.
That's why I wanted to bring him up.
Yeah, I went with some, as we would say here on Rookie Fever, low hanging fruit.
Go for it,
because I wanted to stay super flexy feverish.
Oh my god, another quarterback!
My super flex 101 as of today.
Yes.
Is Breece Hall.
Oh, okay, nice.
And without landing spots and all the conversation we've had today, I'm taking Breece Hall in my super flex spot at 101 over Malik Willis without a landing spot. I think this is the talent, and I think this is where talent will rise. Another big boy, like you mentioned, about Robinson, 6'2", 220.
Killed it at the combine.
Very silky smooth at the combine.
Yeah.
I would love to see him on a team like Buffalo, somewhere like that, you know. Bye-bye Singletary. But needless to say, right now, today, Breece Hall, I know it's low-hanging fruit, but I wanted to stay kind of super flexible a little bit and tell you my 101 today.
Yeah, I don't hate him as the 101. I hate it in a way where I have the 102, and that's where I thought I was going to be able to go.
Yeah.
I thought that's where I was going to be able to go with my 102 was Breece Hall. Then he has to come out and have the best time in the 40. I think he had the best broad jump of all running backs. He was in his own tier at the combine. And as a profile, he probably belongs in his own tier too. So it's now pretty much solidified, because until landing spots, and honestly, even after landing spots, I think you're going to be dead on with that. I think Breece Hall is going to be the 101. Obviously, I like to point this out, and it's not going to make a point here, but, running backs go in rookie drafts as much as people don't want to think that they do.
Yeah. Yep.
They go. And so when I say they go, they will go in front of a quarterback. Yep. It's the same exact logic, which is if I'm going to get one of these guys, a young starting running back with opportunity is incredibly valuable, and you aren't going to get them at the top of the second round. It's not going to happen, right? This is where you have to grab them at the top of your first round. So even if this wasn't the case, these running backs do get pushed up. So your other positions do get pushed down. So we have three running backs that'll possibly help some of those wide receivers or even quarterbacks if you're interested in them this year. Some will be. Push them down a little bit because you got your Breece Hall, your Isaiah Spiller, your Kenneth Walker as your top three. So those guys are going to find their way into these early picks. So, I don't hate that at all. Breece Hall 101, I think that's honestly, even after landing spots, it's going to probably be exactly the way it pans out.
I set this up perfectly to have you be the last negative Nancy before we roll into the trades. And you have to tell us your 2022 doubt now.
Nope, I already did.
You told us
right.
Your towel.
I'm sorry, you're right.
You told us your towel.
You're right. I wanted to stay positive. So
why so negative? Why you gotta be so negative, Panera?
I just did a rookie profile of Rich Doxson of the Dynasty Nerds, and he mentioned this player during my rookie profile on Kenneth Walker with him. And at the time, we weren't talking about Kenneth Walker. We were talking about rookie draft strategy in general and waiting on a wide receiver because this class is so deep. And we both brought up names of wideouts that we think would fall between 111 and 2.6. And he brought up Christian Watson, wide receiver out of Dakota State, who had a very nice combine, let's call it that. He's 6'4", 208 pounds, and ran a 4.36. 6'4", 208 pounds. That's the 98th percentile in this class. So what you're going to say, well, Mike, this is a doubt. You know, like, I'm sorry. Like, you seem to be touting this guy. I went into the Nerds film room. If you guys don't know what that is, it's on DynastyNerds.com. I checked that out. And you can watch every play in a game in 4 to 6 minutes. So I went in and I looked at Christian Watson. Swags, man, I did not like what I saw. I mean, Christian Watson, you are going to hear this name. I promise you, Swag. You're going to hear it. Our listeners are going to hear it. It's going to be that combine numbers. It's going to be that 6'4". You know we all love our big wide receivers. And the fast. Oh, my God. Everyone's going to love this guy.
Everyone was fast.
Yeah, exactly. And everyone was fast. It's almost a little relative, isn't it? You're wondering about who was hitting the clock there. I watched three games. And I barely got through the second one because I'm like, I don't like him. I don't know what to tell you. He seemed awkward, like just awkward out there. He seemed incredibly awkward, and not because he was big and slow, because he just didn't adjust to the ball well. He didn't track the ball well. He just looked awkward unless he was just outright running past someone. If he was just outright running past someone, and that deep bomb was right where it needed to be, it looked like it was all him. But anything that he had to do, like adjust to the ball, anything at all that he had to do, it just looked awkward. But I'm not a scout, right? So I very rarely will look at a player this close. So I reached out to Jason DiRienzo, and I said, Jason helped me. He's a graduate of the Scouting Academy, helped me with two rookie profiles this year, watches a ton of film. We respect him very much as a film watcher. And I said, am I missing something here? Everyone I know is talking about Christian Watson. I just saw him go in an NFL mock in the first round to the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm like, what am I missing? He goes, no. I'll actually quote him. No, you're correct. Big athletic profile with limited college production and very, in all caps, raw with simple fundamentals. Not a guy I'm targeting, and I'll be okay if I miss on him. So apparently, Swags, I can watch film too.
There you go. Dang. I guess next year I'm just interviewing you for the Rookie Fever player profiles.
I'll just interview myself.
Oh, man. I've been shot down a lot, but that one hurt, Finero.
Hurt. I'll absolutely do. You'll be my first.
Let's move on to some rookie trades. At KO_1989.
Yeah, this one's
tag
for me,
at Rookie Fever, at Swagzilla0G, at Artmark TV. I'll give you a retweet. I will. This is a tough one. Amon-Ra St. Brown for the 2022 108, 2022 303, and a 2024 third rounder. First of all, I don't care about those other picks. I really don't. I get that we can move them around and stuff, and I don't want to say that they don't have value, because I know that you can do things with them. I've seen some special things done with those picks. But for conversation's sake, this is 108 or Amon-Ra St. Brown.
I agree. We took it the same way.
A super tough trade for me, Finero. How do you feel about this?
I'm taking Amon-Ra for this reason. I have tried to get Amon-Ra in drafts. I have offered more than I think Amon-Ra is worth in my mind.
Sure. And
being your
same
podcast partner, I think we're both fairly high on him. You more than me, but I'm still with you. You know, I'm a little slow to how high you are on guys.
I have only been able to acquire one share of Amon-Ra St. Brown since the end of the Lions season, and I thought it was going to be a lot easier.
And you've been working harder than I have, and I've been trying to do it as well, and I can't do it. I was turned down for McLaurin and a 23 second. Turn down. I feel like the value, at least right now, is there.
McLaurin and a second.
Well, that's what he wanted. I'm sorry, you're right.
Oh, wow. You turned it down.
I didn't actually. It was kind of like still in the hypothetical phase. It wasn't actually offered technically. I was the holding off. Think about it, and then he pulled it while he was thinking about it. But my point is, I think the 108. By the time you get there, and you know, we are talking super flex here, so that
those three running backs you mentioned earlier off the
all
board,
gone.
Two quarterbacks, so you're getting wide receiver three.
I was going to say your top tier, my top tier, which is Garrett Wilson and Treylon Burks, is gone. So now you're looking at
Jameson Williams.
I think he's not in that top tier for me. So like now I'm looking at that second tier. So now it's like, regardless, and this is again before landing spot, regardless of how I feel about that tier, and some people think all of these wide receivers aren't wide receiver ones, by the way, every single one of them, they're all going to be like wide receiver two or three. So some people think that way. I'm not saying that's me. I'm just saying that that's, again, the stink
or
that this
that's
class,
bad. Or
it's the stink that this class has on it, right?
Sure.
I know what Amon-Ra St. Brown is. I've seen it. I'm going to take the known quantity here. And just to reveal to our listeners, this is 104 votes, so it wasn't like a crazy, you know, sample size, but it was a pretty big landslide to the picks, 67% to 32%.
Mm-hmm.
So
why I said this is a tough one for me is a lot of it is because I believe in myself. And I want Amon-Ra St. Brown on my team, but I still believe in this weird market fluctuation that's going to be happening soon. In that you cannot stop the fact that these picks are going to gain value. I really don't think you can. And I think that something's going to happen that will make people crap on Amon-Ra St. Brown. Mm-hmm. And it won't be me. But I think that something's going to happen because I'll be damned. I mean, we need a wide receiver in Detroit. Amon-Ra St. Brown can't be the last one. So something is going to happen. I really believe that's going to put a little bit of stink on Amon-Ra St. Brown to where this line at least gets closer to 50-50 on this particular trade. Again, I don't care about the other pieces, so I don't even want to say you could definitely get it done without them. Quite honestly, you should be able to. That's a moot point. But for me, I just wonder what else I could do with that 108.
Mm.
I could go get Jared Goff right now. You know what I mean? Like, and I like Amon-Ra St. Brown, but I feel like I could go get Jared Goff or, you know, other things.
Sure.
It's such a tough one for me, man. Like, I agree with you in what you said. How the hell else are you going to get Amon-Ra St. Brown today? It's tough.
Yeah.
I've tried it with McLaurin as well. I didn't put extra on it, like, was offered to you, but I've tried it with McLaurin as well and shot down. I'm shot down all the time. You have a couple trades on here. I think you, like, purposely wanted to pull at our hearts a little bit. And this one definitely does for me. Man, I would sit on this trade all night.
Good. I'm glad I added it.
I mean, there have been several times in my head I've been like, nope, just say it. Amon-Ra St. Brown. And same thing with the 108. I've been like, nope, you want the 108. I'm surprised by this trade. I think I have to take the 108. Man, it hurts.
Yeah, for
hurts
me, this
so
was,
darn much.
For me, this was really easy.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I went with a 108. So we should probably say what the two sides are so people know what we're looking at.
Well, I thought you said you already said you went with Amon-Ra St. Brown.
I skipped ahead. There's a whole other trade with the 108 involved. The third trade on the search.
You skipped ahead.
I skipped ahead right to that one. You know how I feel about that one now. It's pretty easy. It's the 108.
So, trade underscore dino. Total rebuild, 12 team, super flex. He has Trevor Lawrence, Trey Lance, Zach Wilson. He has a 101, a 102, a 103, a 106, a 205, and a 2022 class, and also has 7 2023 firsts and a third.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm taking the 108 over the 201 and Nico Collins, to be honest with you.
Dino Trey, did you really care about the results of this, or did you want to tell everybody that you had all those picks?
Well, maybe both. Taking the 108.
I'm taking the 108. I don't care how many picks I have. I want the 108 in this trade.
Thomas O'Brien.
Yo, Thomas.
What would you rather have in a 12-team PPR Superflex Dynasty? Elijah Moore? Or 2023 first and the second.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking Elijah Moore.
So am I. I was hoping you'd say that.
It's a tough one. I get it, that 2023 class. But, man, I'm getting to the point where I'm sick of the 2023.
Thank you.
Just sick
Thank
of hearing
you.
About them.
Thank
like,
you.
The ones that
They're
have
overvalued,
team, I'm kind
sir.
Of like, what can I do with these now?
Thank
like,
you. Yes.
Damn, like, 2022 is the year you can win. Because everybody's trying to lose because of 2023. It's ridiculous.
Yep. It wasn't. This wasn't easy for me though. It wasn't. It was the first and the second and the 23 that made me think about it. But I have Elijah Moore this year. That's what sealed the deal for me. I get him for a whole year. You got to wait on these two picks.
I'll tell you what though, Thomas. After this, you take the Elijah Moore side. You do your job to make that 2023 first and second as late as you can.
Yeah,
on that
like
other
it.
Team. See if you I can like maybe it. Pull some other pieces. Play that team strong. Trade your players to that team, the other teams that are playing that team all year. That'd be tough. But I'm just saying, like, I'll take the Elijah Moore side. It's not as easy as and quickly as I said it. I understand the 2023s and the value thrown into them. Man, give me Elijah Moore. It even makes me feel like if I'm going to do that so easy, I should go back up and take Amon-Ra St. Brown over that 108. But
right.
I'm going to be picking those pretty soon. But I hear you on your Amon, man. That's a tough one, dude. That's a tough one.
It is.
Panero, this has been a pretty fun show. Got some trades in. You guys feel free to hit us up anytime with some trades. Hit them in our DMs. Tag us. We'll try to throw them into some shows here and there and get you guys involved a little bit more.
Beavers,
did you come to the table with some final thoughts?
You know I did. You ready?
I'm feverishly waiting.
Are you in your chair?
I've sat down.
Excellent. All right, here we go. The more you think, the more you doubt. The more you doubt, the less you do. The less you do, the more you think. So it just goes on and on and on in a vicious cycle. A vicious, vicious cycle. Just remember this. Imperfect action beats perfect thinking. Go with it. Go for it. Imperfect action will beat perfect thinking. Just go for it.
I love it. What he just said, trade away Rondale Moore.
It applies. No, seriously, it applies to girls. Do you want to ask a girl out? It applies to the trade offer. You're already assuming the person's going to turn you down, or all your league mates will turn. Just try, man. Give it a whirl. You know, let's see what happens. You know, maybe you start a conversation because you offer that trade. You just sit there and think about the trade for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and then you get all pissed off because somebody else made the trade. That's on you, man. You overthought it.
Yeah, I love
you
it.
You could have been in the mix there.
You want more advice like that? You follow at ArtMarkTV on Twitter. I am at Swagzilla0G. This is at Rookie Fever. 5-star review. This. And we are out. I get a fever that's so hard to bear. Rookie Fever. When you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight. Fever. In the morning, fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, and you know I'm gonna treat you right. Rookie fever. When you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight. Fever. Fever all through the night. Hey.
got the one-on-one scouting. It's never done. This stupid throw and run. I told you anyone. Size and speed just on real landing spot. Not ideal. Wait, when's this breakout? A full rookie fever stage.
Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my flame. I'll give a fever. When we kiss it, fever with that flame in you. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yeah, I burn for soon.
Got the fever, cause I got the fever. Now you got the fever, so she got the fever, and he got the fever. No cure for the fever, so let's feed the fever. Thank God for the fever.
Thank God for the fever.
Now you got the fever. Now you got the fever. Now you got the fever. Now you got the fever. Now you got the fever.